Meteorologist Carl Kupatic for 101.3 and AM 1470.
It is 19 degrees, fair sky at 9:10 on this Friday morning, and we are joined now on the phone for a community conversation by Frank Frasetto with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. I hope you're doing great today.
You know, the sun is shining here. It's bouncing off the hockey arena, and so it's a good day.
Yes, it is. And finally, we have a little bit of snow on the ground, too. I've been waiting months for that.
You've been waiting months. That's fine. yeah, that's kind of how that goes. Well, I guess this is kind of part two of our discussion about how to make it through the holidays without getting ripped off. Are there any new scams out there? Let's start with that, or anything that's reemerged in the last month or so.
We've actually, the shipping email scam has hit. In fact, last week I was on with another radio station just like this, and within the previous hour, the personality got an email, a shipping scam email. And I thought that was pretty odd because we've been getting them, some of our staff at DebtCap have been getting them as well. So that's something that consumers really should pay attention to.
And for people who aren't sure what the shipping scam is, let's talk a little bit about it.
Sure. What ends up happening is you'll get an email, and basically it tells you that you have got a message, and we've sent you this message with required information, and it's very, very vague. But you'll see a FedEx colors and, you know, an official-looking number or something like that. But very vague in the message itself. And it has a whole number of different areas where it wants you to click to either view the message, to open the email in your browser, or the unsubscribe link. And pretty much all of those, if an unsuspecting consumer clicks on these, you're going to end up going down that rabbit hole of fraud and deception and possibly losing money and potentially your identity. So you want to be very careful of that. And, you know, this is one of those phishing scams where at this time of year when a lot of people are doing online shopping, there are, you know, gazillion packages that are being shipped all over. And so if you get this particular email, it may look official because it's from FedEx, but it isn't. So you really need to make sure that, number one, you study up on that email and make sure that whatever it's telling you to do, you don't do. And go to your file where you probably have a number of confirmation pages that you printed out for your online purchases and verify if there is some legitimacy to it. And then also hover your cursor over the from sender and make sure that that URL is legitimate, because you may find out that it's some sort of wacky configuration of letters and names that just doesn't seem right. So that's a sticky one, and we want to make sure that consumers don't get caught up in that one.
All right. Well, let's talk about now. A lot of people have got a lot of their shopping done, and of course, you know, getting into the gift giving. Let's talk a little bit about returns, if we can. You bought something that something that you need to return. Different stores have different policies, right?
Yeah, they really do. And also, some stores have different policies between their brick and mortar and their online shopping as well. They could be, you know, the store has those two options for you, but the return policies could be different. But one thing is important to remember is that stores are required by law to honor the return guidelines they represent to consumers. So read up on whatever those policies are beforehand. And oftentimes you'll see by the customer service desk, the return guidelines are prominently posted. If they're not, take a minute to ask the store manager or an associate and find out what the terms are before making a purchase. And then to make it easy for a giftee to return something that, you know, they may not have wanted or maybe they want to exchange it, it's a good idea to leave the price tags and the UPC codes intact on the original packaging. because some stores could charge a restocking fee for opened items and those things without their packaging, and especially electronics, because, as you know, when you pull out an electronic from the package, there's a lot of packing stuff that's in there in order to make sure that it doesn't get damaged while being shipped. And then also keep an eye on whether there's a time frame involved in returns. There's a 30-day or a 60-day, whatever it might be, and whether or not that's the clock starts ticking from the moment you purchase the item. And then also it's a good idea really just to make sure that you print out a gift receipt, because that is going to identify the fact that it was purchased on a particular day at a particular store, that it doesn't include the price. So that, again, is going to make it a little bit easier for the giftee to return or exchange.
Now, if they post no returns, no refunds, no exchanges, does that mean that even if what you get is defective, you're basically out?
Well, pretty much, because they're telling you up front. And oftentimes they may do that on sale items, or items, open items, we call them, where they have already been returned and they've been repackaged. But those are the terms and conditions, and obviously it's a good idea for a consumer to know that up front, because then they may go to a different product or a different gift that does have a more generous return or exchange policy attached to it.
And as is means as is,
as
right?
As is. right.
There's no getting around that. So, I got a phishing phone call last night, by the way. Got one from, it was a 202 area code, and this one was telling me that the repair warranty on my vehicle had expired.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was interesting because, first of all, I drive a company vehicle, and the last vehicle that I owned was a 98 Astro van that the warranty had probably expired, I don't know, 15 years ago or so. So I pretty much, it was easy to guess that one was a scam, but that one's out there too.
It is, and oftentimes if people have recently purchased a car, they'll start getting the postcards in the mail about extended warranties that are being offered. And we get a number of consumers who file complaints when they get these, and you know, we do look very carefully at them to make sure that they're not violating any of Wisconsin's law in terms of deceptive and misrepresentations.
All right. Well, here's, I think Jared probably let you know, one of the other things I was going to be asking about is what happens when you get ripped off on eBay or a similar service? I ordered some DVDs.
Okay.
And they didn't appear. And so I contacted eBay, and we're in the process with that. But are there a lot of complaints about eBay and similar services?
Well, I asked Jared to pull some information from 2016 so far, and we do have 26 complaints that came in regarding eBay. And, you know, as you look at what they really entail, there may be a problem with shipping rates or businesses won't respond. And then eBay sort of gets involved in whatever their policy is. And in some cases, they refund some of the purchase dollars. There's an issue on throttling the amount of eBay gift cards that customers can use in a 60-day period. That was one of the complaints. I'm not an eBay shopper or a Craigslist shopper, so it's a little difficult for me to fully understand what some of the issues are. But when we get complaints, we do try to mediate them. So we contact, whether it's Craigslist or eBay or Etsy, to try and help the consumers out. But complaints come in from both buyers and sellers. In one case, a seller didn't like the fact that eBay was taking seller fees out of the shipping fees. So, you know, it kind of covers the gamut. But I did notice something very interesting, and that is eBay does have a resource. One of their links is how to avoid scams. And as I was reading through that, I just thought, oh, my gosh, this is the same type of information that we have been telling consumers regularly about how to avoid scams. And, you know, it's, regardless of how you dress up a particular scam, it really comes down to being able to spot those red flags. You know, don't extend payment to anyone you've not met in person. Deal locally. Try to work face-to-face. Never wire funds. Don't accept those cashier certified checks or money orders, and then cash them and turn around and send, you know, a certain amount of that back, because, you know, banks will cash these, but they hold them. And if it turns out they're fake, the consumer is the one that's responsible for the lost money. So, again, 99% of the time, you know, there are not problems when you're dealing with these selling sites. But, you know, occasionally problems will pop up. And I wish you the very best, Rick, on getting that thing resolved. But if it doesn't, feel free to give us a call and file a complaint with us, and we'll do our best to help you out.
All right. Well, sounds good. I appreciate that. Now, if I guess one of the other things that may be on the list, especially on eBay or Etsy or some of these, is if the deal seems too good to be true, yeah, it might be.
That's an adage that is worth its weight in gold. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Exactly. And if somebody asks you to wire money, it's a scam, period. There's just no way around that. So there are certain rules of thumb that have been tried and tested, and they are true.
Now, let me ask you this. Are you stuck with eBay's money back guarantee and going through their process, or can you call your credit card company and say, look, I ordered this item, it didn't come, I want my money back?
You know, I really don't know how to answer that, other than that's another avenue that you can pursue, because credit card companies, to me, it's no different than any other transaction. If you want to dispute that transaction, you should avail yourself of that opportunity, because that's a service that the credit card companies offer. And then they go through and do what they do in order to try and rectify the problem, because they want to keep you as a happy customer, too.
All right. What other things are out there that people should know as we head into the winter?
Well, the end of the year is fast approaching, and that's a time when a lot of people are looking at making charitable contributions for tax purposes. But in addition to the fact that this is also the season of goodwill, and many people like to donate to their favorite charities, and obviously because of that, scammers are going to try to take advantage of goodwill. And if you should be getting a call from somebody who is trying to get you to donate to whatever cause it is they're calling about, just make sure that you ask a lot of questions about it, especially if you haven't heard about it before, or if they're using a name that sounds very similar to legitimate charities that have been around for a long time and that we know are reputable. But get the information as much as you can. Ask them to send you something. Don't make a decision to pay right away. Because oftentimes these fake charities are going to be very aggressive in their approach to try and get you to send some money their way. And then also go over to the Department of Financial Institutions website and check to see if that charity has been registered in the state of Wisconsin, because most charities do have to be registered. And you can also find out on that site how much money a charity gives to the service as opposed to the administrative fees. And so, you know, if you see that 80-90% of the money is going to pay salaries and overhead, it's not a really good use of your money.
Seems to me the best thing to do if you really want to help somebody out is go to a local charity, a local organization that you know, where you can hand them the check or the money, and you've got a pretty good idea where it's going.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Ah. I see. If I need a new job, we'll talk about that. So anything else, Frank?
Toy safety. That's
okay.
Something that, you know, kids are very excited this time of year, and a lot of us are looking at, well, what's popular, what they're excited about, what they may need. Safety may not be the very first thing on our list, but it is clearly something that consumers should pay attention to when they're out buying toys. So look at the general warning labels to see if there's a listing of potential small parts or magnets or suffocation hazards. Look at the age grading that the manufacturer has suggested to make sure that it's appropriate for the physical development of that child. Also look for the ASTM labels, because these indicate that the toy has met the latest safety standards, and all toys have to have that. Look for flame-resistant labels if there is a toy that has material as a part of it. And also pick up some safety items that may go along with a toy, such as a helmet for a bike or a scooter. And then also keep in mind that if the gift is going to a child in a household that has pets, to also make sure that, you know, the magnets and the small parts and cords and strings and things like that are at least thought of, because pets sometimes can get into these toys, and we certainly don't want to pose a danger to them.
Well, and also to younger siblings, this is something that I happen to think about, because my oldest honorary grandson is 3, and he's got a new baby brother. Well, so as I'm thinking about what to order him for Christmas, I'm thinking, oh, I want to make sure that it's nothing that Jack is going to accidentally get.
Absolutely, because those toddlers tend to put just about everything in their mouth for whatever reason. And, yeah, that is definitely a consideration. Child-proofing your toy, basically.
Right. Now, I did see a list of what some consumer group picked as the worst toy of the year. Get this. This was a makeup kit designed for girls age 3 and up. Okay, so you've got a whole set of issues there along the way. Turns out, not only because of the message that you're sending makeup to a 3-year-old sends, turns out about 40% of the makeup was either potentially toxic or carcinogenic.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be on the labels, the toxicity. It's another one of those ASTM labels. So, and even art products as well. So, great point, Rick. And, you know, the other thing, this is also another very important point. Go to the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website and find out about all toys that have been recalled. Now, that shouldn't be too much of a problem in the brick-and-mortar stores, because, obviously, they're not going to want to be selling recall items from their store. But where it may be an issue is if there are online sites that are trying to get rid of product that they may have, and if you find out that, hey, wait a minute, there's a recalled item and it's on this list, give us a call at DadCap and we'll certainly look into that.
All right. Sounds great. Well, Frank, thank you very much. Always appreciate your time as we pass along this what we hope is worthwhile information to our listeners and consumers out there.
Thanks very much, Rick. It's a pleasure being with you, and happy holidays to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much. Same to you, sir. We'll talk after the first of the year, and probably talk about tax scams and stuff like that.
Sounds great. Thanks, Rick.
All right, great. Thanks, Frank. Bye-bye. Frank Frasetto, Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, guest on our community conversation this morning. Hope you had found some worthwhile nuggets in there somewhere as well. We'll post this along with the community conversation with Todd Pritchard on, we'll put that on WIBDWestBend.com. And later on, I'll get around to that this morning at some point here. But in the meantime, we'll take a look at what's going on